On one occasion, one of St. Faustina's fellow religious sisters in the monastery came to her and she was deeply troubled. And Sister Faustina says, Sister, what's going on? What's disturbing you? And she says, you know, I look back at my life and I have so many regrets. And I wonder, has God really forgiven my sins? And Sister Faustina says, well, have you gone to confession? And she says, I have, but I'm still plagued by them. And she says, well, maybe there's something you've forgotten. Maybe you should return again and confess everything. And so she does. She goes to confession. She comes back and she's still unsettled. And Sister Faustina says, Sister, did you go to confession? She said, I did. But how do I know for sure? Did God really forgive me? She said, Sister, I can tell that you are close to our Lord. I believe that He speaks to you. Will you ask Him, are my sins really forgiven? So Sister Faustina takes the matter to prayer, and these are the words that she hears in her heart. Our Lord said to her, tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins that she committed. Her disbelief in my mercy wounds my heart even more than her sins. Why would our Lord say such a thing? St. John Vianney one time said, in the heart of God, there is but love. St. John the Apostle said, God is love. And so why would it wound His heart? Because He loves us with an infinite love. When we read the Bible, what's the most common phrase? Do not be afraid. I love you. Over and over, I love you. It's why St. John could say, perfect love casts out all fear. And God loves us perfectly. And so He does not want us to be afraid. My brothers and sisters, what is the heart of God like? We celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. Where do we get the word mercy? It comes from the Latin word misericordia, which St. Augustine one time showed is a combination of three Latin words. Miseris, cor, dare, which literally means a heart given to the miserable. A heart given to the wounded, to the weak, to the sinful, to the broken. It's a word that was coined to speak of God's heart. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? When a man comes to our Lord and says, trying to justify himself, who is my neighbor? Right? Who do I have to show kindness to? And our Lord tells the story of this man attacked by robbers, left beaten, bloodied, stripped, half dead. And people pass by, a priest, a Levite, and only one person helps this man, the Good Samaritan. And our Lord then says, who was this man's neighbor? And the response He gets back is, the one who showed him mercy. Do you know who most of the fathers of the church said that the Good Samaritan was an image of? Our Lord Jesus Christ, a man from a far off land who comes to show mercy. And the fathers of the church says that man that was attacked and stripped and beaten and left half dead is an image of all humanity, whom our Lord came to set free. Love is the greatest of virtues, the highest, the most exalted, the perfection of all virtues. But when our Lord came to St. Faustina, He said, my greatest attribute is mercy. Now, does that mean that our Lord's mercy is greater than His love for us? It means that mercy is the highest characteristic of God's love. God's love is so great because it's a merciful love. What makes love merciful? Saint Therese one time said, merciful love is love that reaches down. It's love that someone doesn't deserve, that they haven't merited, that they're not worthy of, and yet that is freely given. It's the way that God loves us. When our Lord appeared to St. Faustina, He said, "I have come to you because I want to begin an age of mercy." He said, "I want to prepare the world for my second coming." He said, "But when I come again in glory, there will be no time left for repentance. There will be no time left for me to pour out my mercy on the world. And so I want to call people back to me through you." And so He gave this image that He appeared to her in this certain way and said, I want you to have this made and spread throughout all the world. And He gave her the chaplet of divine mercy that is prayed on a rosary. Now, all down through the history of the church, God has given different gifts to the church that we might be recipients of grace. The rosary. Right? Our Lady actually came from heaven and gave St. Dominic the rosary and said, spread this, have people pray this. Many, many graces will be given. Pope John Paul II one time said, whoever spreads the rosary will be saved. Or when Our Lady gave the scapular to the church, to St. Simon Stock, this tiny little garment, that she said, whoever wears this will not suffer eternal fires. It's amazing. Are you kidding me? You wear this silly little thing and you're going to go to heaven? That's what Our Lady said. You wear this in faith. Or when she gave the miraculous medal to St. Catherine Lockhart, whoever wears this medal, miracles will be worked in their lives. Do you wear a miraculous medal? Do you wear a scapular? Do you pray the rosary? All these gifts given from heaven. And in the modern age, another gift has been given. The devotion to divine mercy. And the promises are abundant. And I want to name just a couple, because it's a devotion that I think very few people are aware of. This image here before me. This is what our Lord said on one occasion to St. Faustina. I promise that the souls that will venerate this image will not perish. I promise victory over their enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of their death. I myself will defend them with my own glory. I want these images in the homes of my faithful, in churches throughout the world. And about the chaplet, He said this, at the hour of their death, I will defend as my own glory every soul that will pray this chaplet. Or when others say it for a dying person, the indulgence will be the same. I myself will stand between God and the punishment that soul deserves from sin on the day of judgment. And I want to close with a story in which I experientially found this to be true. Okay, I have prayed the chaplet many, many times. But I had sort of fallen away from praying the chaplet often. You know, so I fall away from praying the chaplet often. And I get a phone call one morning. It's 10 a.m. And I was leaving to drive to San Francisco at 10:30. And the man on the other end of the line was working at Immaculate Heart Radio, Catholic Radio. And he calls and he says, Father, there's a lady here who is not Catholic, who has a grandmother who is in a nursing home and has very little time left to live. And she wants to know if a Catholic priest would go visit her grandmother. And I thought of you and I was going to ask, can you do that today? And I said, gosh, you know, I'm heading out of town in half an hour. I won't be back until probably this evening. I'm going to San Francisco. And he says, well, you know, let me ask her. And the woman was right there with him. Do you think your grandmother will make it through the day? And she said, well, I can't be certain, but they think she has at least a couple or 3 days left to live. And so I said, okay, I'll do my best. I'm going to get back. I have a 6 p.m. appointment, but hopefully there'll be a little time in there. And I said, can I ask you a few questions? I said, you said this girl is not Catholic. but she wants a Catholic priest to go to her grandmother. Is her grandmother Catholic? He asked the lady, Father, no, she doesn't think so. And I said, okay, is she Christian? No, she doesn't think she has any religious background whatsoever. And I said, you know, can I ask, why does she want a Catholic priest to go? So, well, she's considering the Catholic faith, and she just thought it would be a nice thing to do. And I said, okay, is the woman going to be surprised if a Catholic priest walks into the room? He asked her, he says, no, actually, she's unconscious. She probably won't even be awake. And I said, you want me to go visit a woman who's not Catholic, who's not even conscious? For what? But, well, actually, I didn't say that on the phone. I said, okay, you know, I'd be glad to go. So I go to San Francisco, and I'm leaving at 3 p.m., Now, when you leave San Francisco at 3 p.m., what happens? Rush hour traffic. I'm thinking, no, there's no way I'm going to get back in time. I could not. I've driven that drive many times in rush hour traffic at 3 o'clock or later. It takes hours. I did not hit traffic the entire way. I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe there's something to this. And then not even in Davis, not in Dixon, and I get very close to Sacramento, and all of a sudden I run into a little bit of traffic, and I'm kind of frustrated with our Lord. I said, Lord, really? You know, I'm going to visit this dying woman. I'm doing this kind deed, and I have a 6 o'clock appointment. Well, I'm in traffic for about 10 minutes. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I think, gosh, you know what? Our Lord made that promise that if we pray the chaplet for a dying person, He would show that soul His mercy. And so I pull out my rosary, I pray this chaplet, and as I'm driving, I'm looking, there was no accident, there was no reason for this traffic. I say the last words of the chaplet as I'm pulling into the parking lot of this nursing home. I look up at heaven, I walk in, and I'm escorted to this woman's room, and she's unconscious, she's breathing heavily. And I forget her name. Let's say Jane. I said, Jane, hello, are you there? Jane, I'm a Catholic priest. My name is Father Letterby. Your family requested. And I'm hoping the Holy Spirit, you know, will work in mysterious ways. And even if she can't hear me, it'll touch her heart. And so I think, okay. Well, and I'm looking at my, and it's terrible. I was looking at my watch and thinking, okay, well, this is going to be a quick one. Right, just say a quick prayer. Be on my way. And then all of a sudden, I'm struck. And I think, you know, if this woman's about to die, I should really give this my best effort. So I grab her shoulder, I go, Jane, are you there? And all of a sudden, her eyes start to flutter. And I said, Jane? She says, yes. I said, Jane, my name's Father Letterby. I'm a Catholic priest. Your family asked me to come visit you, to pray with you. As soon as I said I was a Catholic priest, she turned her head in the other direction. I said, Jane, I'm only here because your family requested this. I said, Jane, can I ask you, are you a Christian? And to my surprise, she nodded her head, yes. And you know, any Christian person, in an emergency situation, they can be anointed. They could receive Holy Communion if they showed faith in communion. They could go to confession. And so I thought, my gosh, I'll give this woman the sacraments. I said, you're a Christian. She said, yes. I said, Jane, have you been baptized? And she shook her head no. And I thought, oh my gosh. You know, God's given this woman the opportunity on her deathbed to be baptized. I said, Jane, and I was very excited. I said, Jane, would you like to be baptized? And she shook her head vehemently no. And I go, oh my gosh. And the thought in that moment that came to me were the words of St. Paul when he says, the only unforgivable sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit, which the Church has always understood to mean the person who is unwilling to open their heart to God's mercy. And I didn't know what else to do, and I just closed my eyes, and I began to pray, because now this woman had totally shut me out. And I invoked our Blessed Mother. I called upon the Holy Spirit. I call on certain saints on those occasions, St. Joseph, St. Therese, and so forth. And all of a sudden, this woman began to groan in pain. And she was holding her hand tightly. And she was just groaning. And she finally, she says, Father, where is God? Where is He? Why would He allow this? And the words came out of my mouth that I do not think were my own. And I said, Jane, God is in heaven. And he wants you to be there with him forever. But our Lord said, unless you're born again of water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're baptized. I said, Jane, can I baptize you? And she shook her head, yes. The woman died within 2 days. What do we believe about someone who's baptized, especially on their deathbed? They go straight to heaven. And as I was driving away, I'm on cloud nine, and I pull out my rosary again. I'm thinking, Lord, is this your promise about the chaplain? Is this real, this gift you've given to the church? And as I'm driving to my evening appointment, I look down. I had about 10 minutes left, and it was right over by St. Philomene's Church. And I thought, you know, I'm going to make a quick visit to the Blessed Sacrament to say thank you. St. Philomene's has an adoration chapel. And I go in, and as I walk in the door, they have just put down the image of Divine Mercy. And 1 day a week, at only that time that I entered that chapel, a group gathers to pray the chaplet. And I said, okay, Lord, I get it. St. Faustina said, Satan hates nothing more than mercy. Because it's by mercy that we are saved. Our Lord calls us to open our hearts to His mercy. Let us ask that they be completely open. And what is one of the surest ways to receive His mercy? By showing mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We ask that we might be instruments of His mercy in this world.